Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
I remember a good ride down the mountain from Steamboat one night. It was me, you, and BJ Barham. And we had been at one of those parties that they have up on the top of the mountain. None of us were very satisfied with the party. And I think me and BJ were arguing, and so I feel bad for you that you had to be there for the whatever deep shit we're going into.
Yeah.
You know, we're fucking arguing. And
Well, I don't remember that at all, so that's like, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, surely this is back there somewhere.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Should we auction you off on this podcast?
Please.
I got to pay for this RV somehow. So, I mean, you're a great songwriter, great cook.
I got to say, I showed up to the podcast and...
You were on time. You were early.
I knocked on the door and I met Paul. I hadn't met Paul before.
You haven't met Paul?
Never in my life.
He's the greatest.
He seemed like a very nice guy and he directed me around to where I could...
Perfect.
Get in the...
welcome.
The only vans here.
Yes, I'm so glad that you're here. Do you remember how we met? I was trying to think today.
You know, it's one of those things that goes back so far. I don't know where it actually was.
I was trying to tell Paul and I was like, I don't remember, but it's just one of those people that I've seen throughout the years and I've always... I've been around. We've both been around for so long, Johnny.
I remember a good ride down the mountain from Steamboat one night. It was me, you, and BJ Barham. And we had been at one of those parties that they have up on the top of the mountain. None of us were very satisfied with the party. And I think me and BJ were arguing. And so I feel bad for you that you had to be there for the, be the third person that has to hear the whatever deep shit we're going into.
Yeah.
You know, we're fucking arguing. And
Well, I don't remember that at all. So that's like, I'm like racking my brain. I'm like, surely this is back there somewhere dusting off the cobwebs. But after those parties, I remember that they used to have really good wine, like expensive wine at those parties.
The best.
So I was always like... Well, if I'm going to be here and someone's going to be yelling at me to play and sing louder, like they would always yell at me, sing louder. And it's like, I'm a girl. I don't have the same vocal projection as BJ Barnum.
I showed up to your party for free. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
Right. That's not how it works there. So I was like, well, I'm going to open this $1,400 bottle of wine then if I'm here. So I was probably like having a great time down the mountain.
Might
I know
as well
exactly
make
what you're talking
use
about.
Use of what the amenities are.
Yeah. Or like pick up the tempo. It's like, why am I here? You invited the three saddest songwriters, like us three. That's like the wrong kind of party.
Do you hear that a lot where people tell you to pick up the tempo or be like, smile?
Or smile more or open your eyes a lot. But if there's a lot of people, I can open my eyes. But if it's a small room, there's no chance I'm going to be looking at you. And I get that a lot. And that really frustrates me because it's like, wait, I thought you wanted to hear the songs, but you want me to open my eyes. That is unrelated to me, but whatever, you know, can't win them all. Do you get that a lot? What do you get?
I never have anybody tell me to smile.
Well, because you're a man.
Exactly. Exactly. I swear to God, they're like, yeah, man, that was a great depressing song that you played.
I love I love your songwriting. And I hadn't heard until today when I was doing a little bit of research, which I should have done earlier, but I didn't need to. I'm a fan. But John Fulbright saying you're the songwriter's songwriter's songwriter, which is so cool. And I told my friend Rachel that, who's here, and she was like, that's so true. That's such a compliment.
Yeah, I love that John said that because I respect him so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it used to be a thing where somebody said, you're a songwriter, songwriter. And, yeah, man, it made sense because, hey, today I'm going, man, you know, I'm up for anything. I'm up for writing with anybody. I'm not a, some high-minded, you know, don't like something that's going on in some scene. Like I think of my job as being a writer, and at the end of the day, sometimes my live show, I am good at it. Sometimes, I am doing good at that stuff, but at the end of the day, I know I'm a writer, and you know, that's.
And last night, I only read one because I was going to sleep, but I read one of your short stories.
Oh, my God.
How many did you end up writing?
I can't believe you brought that up. I wrote a lot.
You should. I'm like, look at me. I hate when people are like, you should do this. But like,
you've heard that since you were young. You should get up on stage.
You should open your eyes.
Yeah.
You should drink more. You should not drink. You should, what? I don't know what you want from me. But for real, that was so fascinating. And it was really well written.
Yeah.
Bind them up.
Yeah, I don't know. I wrote those during the pandemic because, it was still fresh enough in my memory. In case anybody does not know, I was actually incarcerated for the better part of a year in TDCJ. And, so yes, we're talking about short stories I wrote
about jail,
about prison, not jail.
Don't call it jail. No, prison.
But yeah, that was, you know, that was a cathartic exercise, I guess. But at the same time, I'd been writing short stories since I was a kid. I finally had something I could write about that was interesting, that nobody else knew anything about.
That's so wild. I mean, just like you said in there, I think it's you everything you know about prison or jail is from Netflix.
Is Whiskey dead?
She's very high right now. Speaking of prison, she got four teeth pulled yesterday.
Oh.
And I was a wreck all day. I was so upset because they had to put her under anesthesia and she has stitches. And so ever since then, she's just been like really high. Like she couldn't walk in a straight line. And then now she's just like, I can't really sit up straight for very long.
We've all been there.
Yeah. I was there in Steamboat, apparently. I'm just kidding.
No, I thought about bringing my dog.
You should have brought your dog.
I got a new beagle puppy.
Oh, no.
Best part of my life right now.
I would have died. I should have told you because that would have been epic. I would have been holding your dog, though. I would have been like, Whiskey, you're kicked out. There's a beagle puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's so fun. What's this puppy's name?
Annie.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She's a good girl.
And Rachel's here, too. Would you stop, you crazy dog?
You know, Pratt has her brother. We bought ones from the same litter.
Oh, my gosh.
So they...
Well, you and Pratt make the cutest couple. You both cook. You have puppies. Guys.
Oh, my gosh.
He's going to kill me. I love it. But the story was kind of really fascinating because it was about being in prison and a fight could break out at any moment or at any kind of trivial thing, such as like, oh, what to watch, which rom-com to watch on the hour of free TV or whatever.
Yeah. And that's a big deal. What you're watching on TV at night, you only got four channels.
Right.
And, somebody controls those channels. And,
wow. Well, what you said was so hilarious because you pictured you pictured someone with their dying breath being like, I really wanted to watch that Drew Barrymore show or whatever, because the fights would get that bad.
Yeah.
And bloody and the guards coming in and how you were saying they were like lazily walking in. Like they're not in a hurry to break up the fight.
They don't care if you, you know, live or die. And I don't mean to make it that dramatic, but I think I wrote that because it's, that's how stupid it seemed. Going, why am I here? Like, not, I knew why I was there because I committed a crime and I'm, you know, I'm doing my time. That's fine. But the whole existence was, it was wild. And I felt, as a writer, you gotta write about this.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm proud of, certainly. It's not something I go around. In fact, most people, I'm surprised that you brought it up for this podcast because most people go, hey, you don't want to talk about that. And I go, that's fine talking about it.
Well, I think it's strange because, I mean, you've said it on things before. So it was DWIs, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're in there with people that have like maybe murdered somebody or whatever.
Yeah, my Sally murdered some. He was in there 18 on a 25 for murder.
That's so wild because it's not the same thing. So you're kind of in this, you don't know who you're in there with. And so, and I think as a musician, I mean, I'm definitely, it's it was so hard on, in the early days, there was no Uber. We're making no money,
right?
And then you're playing these, my first show was $50, no food or drinks. So it's kind of like, if they're going to give you free beer, someone's going to buy you a free beer. That kind of seems like a natural perk or whatever, where you're like, well, I'm not making any money. I might as well have a free beer. And the last thing any of us should be doing is driving intoxicated, of course. But like the tools that we have now were not the tools or the tools in small towns or wherever.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, when I, you know, I got my first DWI at 21 years old. I mean, I quit drinking for 3 years after that. I was so ashamed. I got my second DWI, and then when I got my third, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't been drinking that day. I just, you know, I was driving back from West Texas for some, probably some people you know, some rodeo people that were having a Thanksgiving party in West Texas. And, you know, I got pulled over for a broken taillight and they go, well, you smell like alcohol and you got two DWIs on your record. And I go, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm got the felony now. That's the one you don't ever want. And I'm going into semantics here with the law and whatnot, but it's, you know, I broke the law. And so I did my time and I never bitched about that. And I will never, I had a lot of friends who went, you got roped. You know, I know people that had 11 DWIs or whatever. And I go, yeah, man. Well, I broke the law. I did my time. And, you know, I'm better for it. I don't know if I'm better for it. But.
Right. But you're not over here like, I got screwed. And
yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, not going to be one of those guys who's like, oh, the criminal justice system screwed me. Like, no, the criminal justice system did exactly what it should have done.
Right. Well, that's awesome. And I think, like I told you yesterday, but that the record Behind the Pine Curtain is so good.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Such a great, and I love that you wrote.
So you're the eighth person that heard that album.
No, you guys got a little, now you're going to have like one listener of this podcast is going to, you're going to have nine listeners. No, I'm just kidding. It's really good. It's such a thematic like record about, and it's so, I think what always to me, what hits me hard or whatever is whatever's genuine, and you can tell everything that you wrote is like super authentic to you and genuine, and it's just really well written. I love that.
Thank you.
And you have, I saw some more stuff on your Facebook. Are you going to make another rec? Are you like ready to make another record?
Yeah, I've always got, I don't know what you would call the $1 million problem of too many songs and what do you want to, you want to write a song? You need some songs?
I mean, I have a lot of songs and no money, too. We have the same, same problem. My record's already written, and my producer's like, let's go. And I'm like, well, I just bought this thing, and now my checking account. But I kind of had to buy this. The other van was like a money pit. And now this podcast is about me. But I had like 10 shows in December with no hotel rooms. Like, it was just a strange, like, it wasn't anybody's fault. It was just kind of the way it worked out. And so I Paul was like, you got to buy this now. And I'm so glad I did, because it probably saved me, you know, $2,000 or something on hotel rooms. Right. And so it's already paying for itself, and it's new, and it's got all kinds of warranty things. And so I'm excited about it. We'll see.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
I listened yesterday to Corazon y Cabeza.
Yeah.
Great record.
Thank
and
you.
I've got to say, I remember this was like a number of years back where like Casey Musgraves mm-hmm. or whatever was singing Selena, and I was like, no, that's Bree's deal. Like, she stole Bree's deal.
Yeah. Well, whenever she sang that at the rodeo, she did such a great job. But I got a ton of messages about it, which was funny. But then I was like, oh, well, that's natural. It's the Astrodome, you know, that's great. But then, like, right after that, when I sang it, I got, you're copying Casey Musgraves. Which was, that's the part that bothered me, which I was like, I didn't care.
I've been doing this.
Come on.
I don't even know.
I've been singing the Selenas for a long time, but also so have a lot of people. But it's just really interesting how it's like, you know, how that happens.
It's weird how, you know, we do things and they get, you know, pulled apart.
Yeah.
And some people take those things that you've been doing well for a long time.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right. Or it's, you know, I sing in Spanish. I don't own that.
Right.
Right. Casey Musgraves doesn't own that. We all are allowed to sing in Spanish, which, by the way, Ida Bell is a great song. If you would like some harmonies on that for free from our home studio, just saying. He's like, I don't want your voice on my record. Here, is that why you came on my podcast? So I could ask you to sing on your record.
Ida Bell.
Isn't that what the new one on Facebook?
Oh, I did put that online. I'm sorry, I've been creeping you this morning. No.
I love that song. It sounds very like El Paso, like you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I know more about your songs than you know. It was written in the tradition of
you know, like a
Marty Robbins song. I know. That's why I loved it so much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm telling you about your
again,
own stuff
again. I'm going.
Now.
Hey, people actually listen to these things. Bree Bagwell listen to them.
Yeah. Oh, I went. I
ought to keep doing this.
I did a deep dive. I can't remember when I listened to your record for the first time, the newest one, but it was very. Someone had told me about it, and I was driving, so I had the thing where I'll like listen to my friends' records or whatever, and then I never end up telling them.
It's
that
hard
I did
to keep
that.
Up with them all, isn't it? You know, we got so many.
Yeah.
Friends who put out albums every Friday, and you go, man, it's hard.
And sometimes you just want to listen to a murder podcast and like not listen to music. That's my problem. It's like, I think someone was saying it, I can't remember who it was, but they get like a little jealous when people put out albums because it's like, man, how are they, where are you getting this money from to make records all the time?
In case you don't know, I'm going to go on record here and say it actually costs a lot of money to make a good record.
Yeah.
So, what we're doing right now, we're just, we're trying to make y'all listen to those records.
We're going to, right. And we're going to put our Venmos in the show notes for, at Johnny Burke Music. I don't know. We were like, wait, do you live in Buda? Is that okay to see?
Do you like Buda? I'm not really like a resident like some people are. I've lived in all the Central Texas towns in the past 5 years. You know, Lockhart, 2 years. It's like talking about doing time. It's like, Wimberley, a couple of years.
You know? Why were you in Colorado? You were playing shows up there last time I asked you?
Yeah, last time I talked to you, I think it was through our friend Terry Gillespie that I contacted you.
Yes.
Owner of the Lone Star Float House, best burger on the Guadalupe River, everybody.
Our first through, like, we have a Patreon that people subscribe to, then that's kind of my own thing. And I put out songs and I have a bunch of subscribers on there, and it's been really, really great. But I didn't know you could actually like subscribe to this podcast directly somehow. I don't even know how they're doing it. Kyle doesn't either. But Terry was my first subscriber.
He's the best, man.
And I'm going to turn around and use that money and go eat that burger. They're the greatest people, and I love them so much.
Terry and Audrey are great people, and I think they, for some reason, it was while I was driving to Colorado, and Terry said, oh, you got to do Bree's show. I think he had just seen you in Port Aransas or something.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, okay, I'll reach out to Bree. And here we are.
I love it. I'm so glad that you did. We have people reach out, and it's been really interesting to see who wants to be on the podcast. We've had some like really great people reach out, and I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I don't really know what I'm doing, but we've done it for, you know, we've been filming for over a year and a half, but it's been great. But Kyle does all the work, so all I have to do is like show up, bring my dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle, we can't turn the cameras around right now, but Kyle's right there. He's doing all the work.
I always say like Ka from South Park.
Ka.
Ka.
Hey, Ka.
But some people don't know it. And it's fell flat a couple of times. Some of them like Ka. Hey. Kyle was my tour manager.
You're doing the Cartman voice.
I am. I'm Kyle. Trying. Yeah.
Ka. Hey,
Ka. See? Thank you. We got it. Thank you so much. My mom's like, what are you doing? I don't understand. Do you feel like telling any more jail stories?
What do you want to know about jail?
Well,
anything. Ask me.
Did you make any underwear like Orange is the New Black? That's not an appropriate question. I'm sorry about that. But I love that show.
I don't know about Orange is the New Black. What happened to the underwear?
It's female prison. But they were basically like making underwear and wearing them and selling them from prison. I just mean, did you have any like?
I'm just going,
Kyle, take that out.
I'm looking for the jail story.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I'm really sorry. It was basically just like a, you know, an underground jail operation where they were. It was.
Do you want me to tell you about the Aryan Brotherhood? Jesus, Bree.
I mean, that was wild. That one's the first story that I read. The Bobby Hill story was pretty wild. But I didn't get any further down. So tell me when I haven't heard.
Well, you know, what do you want to hear? I'm not just going to, like, you know, spill my guts about, it was horrible. Woke up around this guy that's a white supremacist gang, and he's my best friend. So
that's so crazy, though, that to me wouldn't fly in jail. Like having the white supremacist tattoo, that guy, you said they grated it off with a cheese grater, right?
Supposedly that's what happened to that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that would go over well in jail. Did you had any job? What was your job? What was your jail job?
Well, it's funny you ask. The first 3 months I served basically 6 months in TDCJ, which is Texas State Prison. Mm. My first 3 months, I didn't smile. And you know me, I smile a lot. I laugh a lot. I didn't smile at all. The last 3 months, I was on what's called a transfer unit, which means you get transferred a lot because you're not serving that much. You're serving less than 5 years or whatever. And, so, yeah, I, it's weird to think about these things.
Yeah.
But when I got on my last unit, it was north of Abilene. It was this town called Breckenridge. You ever been to Breckenridge?
Breckenridge, Texas?
Hmm?
No.
Every town I was ever transferred to, I never heard the name of. And I was like, I've been to every town in Texas.
I've been everywhere.
Not these prison towns. And the guy that was called the GI, the gang investigator, he made sure that, you know, check your tattoos, make sure which gangs you're in, when you're coming into the unit. And he was a nice guy, and he told me, hey, man, I'm a big fan of Mike McClure. I haven't told anybody my entire time I've been locked up, going through Huntsville, in and out, that I'm a singer, songwriter, musician, whatever. I've just been sitting there.
Right. Not smiling, not because smiling. You're not happy, but as a calculated move to not.
As
smile.
A calculated move to not get my ass kicked. And he says, yeah, man, I'm the gang investigator here. And he said, okay. And he said, I'm a big fan of Mike McClure. And I go, okay. And he goes, I've been hearing your stuff because Mike McClure was a producer for my first group, the Dead Ringers. While I was still in high school.
Wow.
And he goes, I got a guitar I can get you every Friday for 30 minutes every Friday if you want it. And I go, yeah, man, I'll take it. And so the GI, who's kind of a big guy on the unit, brings in the guitar and gives it to me. And I start tuning it up. And on a Friday afternoon, I go, what do y'all want to hear? Nobody knows anything about these 65 other guys I'm living with in a big, huge, horrible, enclosed space. Nobody knows.
Uncomfortably enclosed. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, somebody goes, play Folsom Prison. Like, right. I played all the cliched songs every Friday for like 4 or 5 weeks. Every Friday. Folsom Prison Blues. I even threw in Sing Me Back Home.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
yeah.
one of my favorite songs.
Me too. That's one of my favorite Merle
really?
Songs. Yeah.
Love that song.
Yeah.
So, I threw in the prison songs, but I also had to be generous to half the people in there were in, like, black gangs, and I would be like, my man Double D over here, he can fucking spit, you know? We're gonna get him up here.
And he would rap and stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
We were showing the diversity of the 66-man dorm. There was a thing, and I might be going long here. I don't know if
no,
I'm
you're
going
fine.
Long here. But there was a thing where we had a house cat, is what you would call it. And the house cat had to talk to the major, say if anybody got in trouble, if anybody got in a fight, you know, the major would walk in and go, let me talk to the house cat. And it was an elected position.
Oh.
But it had to be, this is weird to remember this. It had to be a Mexican guy and then a black guy and then a white guy. And I came in Breckenridge, Texas, when it was a black guy. And then it transferred to this Mexican guy, Rudy. And me and Rudy, once I'd started playing these songs, he put me at, like, the head table in the day room. The where you go, you got a chair here. You know, you're a man of importance.
Right.
And since I wasn't affiliated with a white supremacist gang, when he left, he was like, Johnny ought to be the house cat. And so all of a sudden, elected position, everybody voted yes. I'm in charge of 65 other felons.
Oh my gosh.
When the major comes in, hey man, what happened here? Who right. needs to go out? What, you know, what's the deal? I'm in charge.
But you don't want to tell on people.
You can't tell on people.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're elected to tell on people, but you can't tell on
you
people.
You can't tell on people.
Did they... What race are... Sorry. You look like you could be, I think, I don't know, are you Hispanic?
No, I'm white.
Wow. That's
why I got the job.
That's right, because you were next in line. That's super interesting. I guess it's a way to make it fair, but then if you're also like, I'm not telling on anyone or they will beat me up.
Yeah, you can't tell on anyone.
So he just comes in and then you say, all is good?
Anybody that's not popular in the dorm, you go, he's got to go.
Oh.
You're the envoy,
Right. And what do you get for being that person?
Nothing. You get to not work in the laundry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Yeah. It was actually a big deal. I got to be in an air-conditioned room. I had an office. And, the whole rest of TDCJ wasn't air-conditioned, so I got to... And I had a radio. There is a Texas country station somewhere around there.
Wow.
Once in a while, I got to hear Reckless Kelly.
Oh, my gosh. You've made it in prison. You're like, I've really made it. Did you hear that Reckless Kelly is the tribute artist this year for Steamboat?
I did not.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Look at us.
Look at us. They're so old.
Growing up.
Them Brown Brothers are so old.
Oh my gosh. I did a Brown Brother impersonation on the podcast and like Willie didn't get it.
He didn't like it?
I don't think he didn't like it. I think he just didn't understand that I was like trying to mimic his voice. Because, you know, they all talk like that.
Well, what are you talking about, Bree? We don't talk like that.
We talk like this.
Come on.
And it's very up and down and up and down.
Jesus, Bree, and, we don't all talk like that.
But I like did it on the podcast with him, and he was like, no, didn't just fell super flat. I was like, oh, okay, this is going great. But I gosh, time flew by already. Thank you for coming to my house. We're building a house around the corner, but this is where I store my RV. If I don't know why I told you that, in case you want to steal it. I don't know. You want to go back to jail? Never. No more jail for you.
I'd hope not. I grew up here in New Braunfels, and so.
Yeah. I'm sorry you went through that, but I like your whole attitude about it. And we are here to encourage everybody now that they have things like Uber. They didn't have
Uber is the way to go.
Back in our day.
Uber is the way to go. Yeah. There's no reason you should ever have to drive drunk. And I'm going to be the first one here to tell you about that.
Yeah. And you got just a really, really cool record about it, though. Everyone go check it out. And the new songs I'm very excited for. Maybe we can. You know, find some way for me to sneak on those new songs.
I would love that.
Or we could actually write a song together at some point in our lives.
Either way, we're, you know, buds for life.
That's right.
Buds for life.
Thank you for being here. And if there's anything I missed about you, I just think you're so cool. You're a cool cat.
Hey, I've always loved Bree Bagwell. And I would just like to say this first and foremost. I'm a fan.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. I'm a fan.
Thank you
too.
For having me on.
I'm a songwriter. You're my songwriter.
We are.
Yeah. Yay. Thanks, Kat. Kat.
Thanks, Kat.
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 Last time I ever get drunk in this house, been here almost a year. It ain't really a house, more like a garage. Guess I'll grab another beer. The last time I ever get drunk in this house, ain't no loss, not gonna pout it. It's 10 a.m. and I'm hiding from my girlfriend, 'cause she wouldn't be all about it.